Hello and welcome to Inside Education, a new programme on 103.2 Dublin City FM, with live streaming on dublincityfm.ie. Each week on Inside Education, I'll bring you news and stories from the world of education. My name is Sean Delaney and I'll be your host every week. You can contact the programme with comments or suggestions by texting 086 8962 665, or you can email me insideeducation@dublin.ie. That is insideeducation, all one word, at dublin.ie. One of the big education events in Dublin in the last week has been the 7th European Conference of the International Council for Education of People with Visual Impairment. It was hosted by St. Joseph's School for the Visually Impaired. Presentations and workshops were held in both St. Joseph's and in Trinity College. The International Council for Education of People with Visual Impairment helps children and adults with a visual impairment and other disabilities worldwide. Right across Europe, including Ireland, more and more children and their carers are seeking support for living with a visual impairment. Later in the programme, I will bring you an interview with the preschool coordinator of St. Joseph's School for the Visually Impaired. But first, I spoke to Brian Allen, the CEO of St. Joseph's, and to Geraldine Neal, who is in charge of training in St. Joseph's. I began by asking Brian Allen to tell me about the purpose of the conference that was organised in Dublin this week.
St. Joseph's Centre for the Visually Impaired are delighted to host an ICVI 7th European Conference here in Trinity College. The purpose really of the conference is an opportunity for educators to network and to talk about the changing face of Europe, but I suppose really to look at the changing population of the visually impaired.
And could you say what the incidence of visual impairment is among students and people in general in Ireland?
Well, in terms of children, I think from 0 to 18, we're looking at a population of about 900 children that we can recognise who have a visual impairment.
And what might those visual impairments be?
Well, I mean, it's a myriad of different types of visual impairments. I mean, it could be somebody who is totally blind, somebody who has peripheral vision in one of their eyes or two of their eyes. And again, it's, you know, the list is really endless.
And what kind of challenges do such people have in going through the education system in traditional schools?
I think it's probably difficult enough for anybody to go through a traditional school in Ireland because of the myriad of subjects and the complexities of, you know, the different type of books that they may have and so on. But for somebody who's visually impaired who aren't receiving, you know, a huge amount of supports, I think things like textbooks, you know, whether they're using Braille or large print, the technology side of it, and sometimes there are social inclusion or exclusion issues for children who go through the educational system.
And do we know how many children with visual impairments are in ordinary schools? Geraldine?
I think one of the problems in Ireland is we have a certain amount of statistical information and we're also then very short of others. So it's very, very difficult to give you an exact number. I think very often what you may find is, as services, we may know about a number of children, but we may not know about all. So there could be a number of kids in mainstream school who perhaps might be struggling with their vision and none of the services know about them.
How many other schools are there for the education of children with visual impairments?
Basically, St. Joseph's is the only designated school in the country, and then what you have is you have children who attend mainstream schools or attend school in their local areas who may receive support from the visiting teachers, who do receive support from the visiting teacher service.
I suppose one of the things that we've been doing in St. Joseph's for the last 10 or 15 years is expanding our services. So we provide preschool, integrated preschool, primary school, secondary, vocational training. And then we have other things such as therapies, but we also produce all the large print and braille and text files for any child who may be in a mainstream school. And I think if you look at what we've been doing is we've been developing a resource centre model. And that really means that we have a hub of expertise, if you like, within St. Joseph's Centre. And then, you know, we can outreach that where possible and depending on our resources. So we have a bus you know, what we call it, a family resource bus, which can travel down the country, which can, you know, work with parents, work with teachers, work with children in specific areas that they may be interested in. And that could be in the production of a Braille book. It might be about the proper toys, you know, to buy for a visually impaired child for Christmas. So there's a lot of, you know, it's like a travelling bus with an a la carte menu for those visually impaired families and students.
So this resource centre is available on an outreach basis to teachers throughout the country, for example.
Yeah.
And what could teachers expect if they contacted you and asked for some support in supporting students or one student even with a visual impairment in their school?
I think really the teachers have to be very clear themselves about what they feel the student needs. So it might be that the student is having difficulty with mobility in the classroom or in the surrounding areas. So again, hopefully we'll be able to allocate, you know, a mobility teacher either to teach the parent, the child, or the teacher about, you know, what best way that child should get around.
Okay, and one of the things you mentioned that is that you have a Braille production service. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, in 2000, the Department of Education asked us would we look at the production of Braille, large print and alternative formats for children, not only who are in our own schools, but in mainstream schools. And since that, this year we produced about 2,500 books and that could be in Braille, large print or text files, for children who are in mainstream schools.
Okay, so do you translate, say, typical school reading books and typical mathematics books?
Yeah. No matter what book is on the curriculum, we take it, we scan it, we translate it into Braille, or we produce it in large print, or we can organise a spoken tape.
And can you say a little bit then about the education that is provided in St. Joseph's itself? Because there are, I know there's a primary school and a preschool, and is there a secondary school as well?
Secondary school as well, yeah. Well, you know, if we take it from the beginning, if you like, St. Joseph's can offer a 3-day assessment for a child to see exactly, you know, what that child may require.
And what age is that available at?
Well, we do it from a very young age. Yeah. So it depends on the child. And in fact, we can do it with very young children. It may not be all based around education. It might be around stimulation. But I think, if we start at the beginning, we do the assessment. If it's a case that it's a preschool child, if a family wish to, you know, come either full-time or sessionally to us, depending on what happens after the assessment, because we would do, if you like, an educational program plan or a needs analysis, if you like, then we can respond to that, or the parent can try and access that at home. If they do come to us in our preschool, again, it can be sessional or it can be on a weekly basis, depending on resources available. If it's a case that those children are of primary age and if they wish to come to St. Joseph's on a residential basis, or if they wish to get support from our primary school teachers, we will do our best to do that. So and so forth. Public Scholars Mini is on the campus of St. Joseph's. It is a community school that was born out of St. Joseph's, if you like, and they are an integrated school with in and around 400 students. We would have about 10% of visually impaired in there. We have resources.
10% of
the school population.
Of Rosmini.
Yeah.
Is actually students with visual impairments.
Correct. And we have teachers there, resource teachers who are qualified, who support those children within that school.
So if a parent, either living near St. Joseph's or living somewhere, you know, far away from St. Joseph's, has a son or a daughter with a visual impairment, what do they need to consider when planning their son or daughter's education?
Well, I think they have to be very clear about their child and their child's needs. I mean, if it's a case that they wish to come to St. Joseph's, there is a residential facility that they can do that. If they wish their child to be in mainstream education, they have to be clear that they can access the resources in their local area. If not, they should be contacting us or the visiting teacher service to look for those services. I think if anybody rings St. Joseph's, we would hope, and it would be our ethos, that, you know, we will respond as best we can to the needs of their child. And I think a testament of that, really, and the type of work that we're doing is, you know, we're sitting in Trinity College today with 340 delegates who have looked at Ireland, have looked at the types of services that St. Joseph's has offered, and it's a testament to us, I think, really, that they're here at all, because we're a very small country in Ireland, and generally these conferences are based in very large countries, Germany or Holland or, you know, Sweden and so on. So it's really great to see them there. But there are a lot of work that we still have to do. St. Joseph's has to do a lot of work around its buildings. You know, we need a lot more resources into specific areas such as therapies and so on and so forth. So,
and can I ask, how does the services that are provided by St. Joseph's compare to best practice internationally in terms of supporting people with visual impairments?
I mean, as I said, it's a testament that these people are here and listening to, you know, to some of our staff presenting today. So in terms, I would think, in terms of best practice, we are up there with the rest of them because we have developed so well in the last 10 years. I think where we need more sort of infrastructural money is around our buildings and around our add-on services, such as our therapies, such as, you know, eye clinics and so on. Although we provide it, we're doing it on a shoestring. And I think in the current economic situation, it's not going to get any easier for us. I mean, we'd love to be in a position where we could outreach, where we could have 3 or 4 regional centres within Ireland. That's just not a possibility at the moment.
And you've mentioned the topic of money there, Brian. How is the work that's done in St. Joseph's funded?
We have 3 avenues of funding. We have direct money coming from the Department of Education into our schools and into our Braille unit. We have HSE money coming into our residential facilities, our therapies, our care staff, the running costs. And then we have a very large fundraising pot that pays for everything else. And as you know, in the current economic climate, that's dropped by about 10%. Plus HSE have hit us for about a 3% cut this year. So we are in difficult times, but I think St. Joseph's and its staff have been very good about, you know, looking at any excess financial commitments that we have had, and we have trimmed back. Next year we'll tell another story.
And Geraldine, if I could ask you about the kind of training that is provided in St. Joseph's for people who work with people with visual impairments. Can you tell me just a little bit about what's available?
Yeah, sure. We provide training, I suppose, informally and formally. And what I mean by informal training is we are willing and prepared to accept requests from teachers, other professionals who may come in contact with somebody with a visual impairment to support them in the work that they do. So that training may be just sort of like a once-off thing where they may want to know more about a certain eye condition or how you manage a child in a classroom or whatever. So sort of like workshop style courses. We've done things like disability awareness courses where we've had people come in and join us from other organisations, which has been really good. We've also looked at the whole area of equality and diversity as well, because I think many organisations now are looking at a more diverse user group, but also a more diverse staff group as well. So it's looking at that. Then we also have training that is accredited. So we offer a FITAC course, a course that leads to a FITAC award. It's called Learn Braille. I think Braille has been a huge issue over the last number of years. I think there has been an anxiety that people have thought that maybe Braille wouldn't be as popular because of technology, whereas I think we've found that it's still a very, very important skill, and that's coming across a lot in a lot of the sessions in the conference, that good Braille skills at an early age are really important for how students access education at a later stage. And this course teaches, it doesn't teach people how to teach Braille, but it gives people the skills to support students in the classroom. So the course is open to teachers, special needs assistants, parents, anybody really who's got an interest in learning to read and write Braille.
And despite, say, the widespread availability of talking books and things like that, Braille is still an important skill for people with visual impairments to learn?
It is, and I mean, but it's not all people with a visual impairment will learn Braille. It's people with little to no sight benefit most from Braille. But, you know, I suppose it would be like you and I listening to an audio book. You know, if you play one in your car, it's a very different experience to reading it for yourself. And I was talking to somebody the other day who's a Braille user, and he was saying if he needs to learn something, he doesn't learn it well by listening to it. He prefers to actually read it for himself. So I don't think we can forget those things. They're really important.
in relation to other courses that we were running, we're going to launch Cert HE, and that's in collaboration with Worcester College in the UK, but also with another organisation in Hereford, and that work with teenagers in terms of vocational training. So we're going to co-tutor a course, so I think it'd be very interesting for people to know about it. And on that course, we'll have things like, you know, naturally enough, study skills, but the nature and causes of visual impairment, orientation, mobility, multiple disability, visual impairment, which in itself is an emerging need for every educator who works with a visually impaired person. Alternative formats, independent living skills, assistive technology, and independent studies. So this is going to be like a brand new course, up to date, with tutors both from St. Joseph's and from Hereford. So we're really looking forward to just getting that off the ground. And if anybody would be interested in that course, it's a certificate in higher education for working with people with a visual impairment. And they can contact us at St. Joseph's, which is 837-3635, or have a look on our website.
And is the that phone number that you gave, 837-3635, is that also the number that teachers who are looking for support should contact for resources?
Yeah. I think the important thing is just to ring in, give your request, and you'll be directed to the most appropriate person in the organisation to deal with it.
And the website address is?
www.stjosephsvi.ie.
Okay, that's www.stjosephsvi.ie. And just Brian mentioned earlier, Geraldine, about the, you know, the preschool and the primary school and the post-primary school. Can you say what expectations or what opportunities are available for people with visual impairments when they leave secondary school?
I think it depends on the person. I mean, in terms of St. Joseph's, what we provide is we have a vocational training unit, and that's for students who have a visual impairment but may have a learning disability as well. And it's this particular course does is it looks at preparing people in terms of social skills and independent skills for the workforce, if at all possible. And I know at the moment that's becoming much more difficult because of our current economic climate, so it's quite a challenge. Vocational training does certified training in terms of training called ASDAN. It's a UK-based program, and they're also doing FITAC modules as well.
And do many of your graduates go on to third level?
In terms of public school Rosmini graduates, we've had a huge academic success in the last number of years with people who have gone on to Trinity, DCU, UCD, and people going on to masters and beyond, really. I suppose what we're finding, and Brian probably hinted at this when he was talking about the Cert HE, I think we're finding that the student group is changing a little bit. In the past, St. Joseph's would have worked very much with students who had a visual impairment only, whereas now there's a significant number of children coming in with a visual impairment and other disabilities. So that's proved a challenge to us as an organisation in terms of preparing ourselves and preparing our staff for that change.
And are there particular needs that people with visual impairments have at third level that would be different maybe from their needs at, you know, primary or secondary?
I think the big one is access to information. It's access to the core materials. A lot of universities now, I have to say, have really good support offices within their sector. I think, you know, if you think of a number that sort of stick out, UCC is very good, DCU is very good, Trinity also is very good. So, and you know, all of the universities have support offices, and I think if any student is thinking about going on to third level education, they should really be encouraged to make their needs known. I mean, I don't think we need to think that somebody can't access third level education, because yes, they can, and they need to be very clear in saying, these are my needs, you know, and they can then receive the appropriate support at third level.
And just going back to the conference, if I could ask both of you, what has been your highlight of the conference so far?
I think the whole conference has been a highlight, to be honest. We were very nervous, I suppose, taking on such a big endeavour.
Yeah.
But the response from our delegates has just been tremendous. Caroline Casey spoke on her first day, and I think she blew everybody away in the auditorium. Mary McAleese came yesterday and spoke for 15 minutes about, really about the importance of the work that we're at. So that was very affirming. Tonight we're having a gala dinner. Hopefully that will go off well. And we won't have too many sore heads tomorrow morning. And so it's all been really positive. Any one highlight? I don't know. I think Caroline Casey, when she spoke to us about her life and her situation on the first morning, was terrific.
And what stood out about what she said?
She's just so positive about her outlook. I mean, we're all educators, if you like, in for the visually impaired. She's a visually impaired person, so she spoke about her difficulties when she was a youngster, but she has remained so positive. And I think if you look at St. Joseph's ethos, we're really keen that we look at the whole person, that any sort of possibility for somebody to achieve well, that's what we really want to see. So it was really affirming for our staff and for any of our parents who were here.
I think the other thing that's coming out a lot is that it's important, and this came out in the President's address yesterday, Mary McAleese's address, is we always need to remember that the children are children first, and to remember people's abilities rather than their disabilities. And I think as professionals, Caroline Casey reminded us of that, and so too did Mary McAleese in her address. And that's hugely important, I think, and it was very humbling, really.
Yeah.
One thing that I read about in relation to the conference is that research was released that shows that the number of people with visual impairments is expected to grow in the coming years. Mm. I wonder, could you say a little bit about that?
I think what we need to remember is, I suppose we're working with the smaller group, really, in the visual impairment population when we're working with young people. Sight loss is predominantly associated with the aging population, and as our health services I think all countries are experiencing the fact that people are living longer, and the longer we live, the more likely it is to develop a visual loss. And I think that's what it's reflecting. That's what the research is saying.
But I think there is a thread, at this conference talking about the changing population of visually impaired children with multiple disabilities. And I think very clearly, if you look at our records in Joseph's, is that 10 years ago we might have had 6 or 7 referrals a year, whereas now we could have up to 8 or 9 referrals a month. So
yes.
It there is a big impact there, at both ends, yes, of the scale. Yeah. So as an organisation, we have to try to respond to that. And I think part of looking at the resource centre model that we described earlier is trying to meet the needs of the future for those children. And I'm not going to harp on about it, but we also need a new building.
And you did mention 10 years ago, Brian. St. Joseph's in 10 years' time, how do you see it?
Well, if I had a crystal ball, and if I can stay as positive as Caroline Casey, I'd be saying you would be visiting us in a state-of-the-art building, that cost 34 million euros and would be the jewel of Europe as opposed to the jewel of Ireland.
Thank you very much.
And that was Brian Allen and Geraldine Neal from St. Joseph's School for the Visually Impaired speaking to me during the week at the 7th European Conference of the International Council for Education of People with Visual Impairment. You are listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Take a listen to this. That is the sound of Audrey Farrelly, the preschool coordinator in St. Joseph's School for the Visually Impaired, typing out the alphabet in Braille. I spoke to Audrey during the week, and I began by observing that one thing a teacher from a regular school might notice in the preschool is the Braille typewriter. I asked Audrey how she might use that in her work.
Well, for very young children, unlike their sighted peers, the children don't get the opportunity to see words all around them like any other child would. So in the preschool we try and braille as much as we can so the children get the opportunity to feel the braille even though they mightn't understand what they're actually feeling very early on. But it gives them the exposure to braille so they're able to, when they actually learn all about the alphabet, that they're able to understand exactly what they're feeling.
So one of the things that I can see here close to us are some what look like workbooks with spiral bindings on them and inside there's braille. What exactly is that braille saying, or is that just giving them the opportunity to sensitise their fingers?
The little workbooks there, we're lucky enough to have the National Braille Production Centre here, so they will braille little books for us whenever we require them. Basically, we use the little workbooks just to teach the very basics of braille, so they're very, very simple phonetic little word workbooks. They're based on all the phonetic books that you might see from very young children about, like, say, cat sat on a mat. So they're very, very simple little books.
So one of the things that might strike someone in here as well is that there's very few posters on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And is that for the same reason, that the children can't see them and that you need to have other ways of stimulating them? Is that...
Partly, but also because some of the children would have what we would call a cortical visual impairment, and that means that one of the sort of the consequences of that visual impairment is that the children find it very, very difficult to see when there's an awful lot of clutter in the room. So posters on the room or an awful lot of bright, colourful decorations covering the wall is very, very visually confusing to the children. So it actually is better when there's less things on the wall for the children to actually be able to orientate themselves in the environment.
Okay, and how many preschools are there here in St. Joseph's?
We have two preschools here. We have ourselves, which we look after the very young children, so we run an early intervention service from it. And also as part of this preschool, we work with children who have multiple disabilities. We also have another preschool from about 2.5 to 6, and that's sort of Montessori-based education, and that deal with children who, again, are 2.5 to 6, but have visual impairment as their main impairment. We are also very lucky to have our creche on campus, which is the Learning Tree Creche, and we do integration with the creche of the children from our Montessori and preschool, regardless of the disabilities, get a chance to go up to a regular run preschool and actually integrate with the children up there.
Okay, so we're in the room where which is to support and serve children with multiple impairments.
Yes, and also the very young children.
And they would be what age?
The very young children.
What age range is in this room?
The youngest we've had come in with their parents this year has been 5 weeks old. They came directly from the hospital with their parents. And at that young age, it's up to us to give the parents the information that they can work with their children at home. In the daily preschool, the youngest children have been about 1, 1.5.
And how many children would you work with on a typical day? Like, do children stay with you for a full year?
Oh, they do. They actually stay with us. Some of the children are with us till they're about 5 or 6. Throughout the week, children get the opportunity to come 5 days a week. And we can't offer that opportunity to everybody, unfortunately. So some children will just come one day a week or just in the afternoons. But totally in a week, we would see about 32 children.
Okay. And that would be not all at the same time.
No. Yeah. We would have children in the preschool who come in from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock, and then also children in the afternoon who would get a one-to-one session with the teachers and also probably with their parents.
And as preschool coordinator here, what kind of support staff do you have?
There's myself, and then we also have 3 other full-time staff, and we also have 2 part-time staff.
Okay, and what kind of things do they do?
Oh, they're all fully qualified Montessori-trained teachers or would have a degree in early childhood education. And also they would, while they're here, would have training in visual impairment.
And your own preparation for this work, what did that involve?
I was Montessori-trained originally and then went on to do a course in training with children with special needs. Following on from that, I did a diploma in visual impairment here at St. Joseph's and then also a degree with special education.
Okay, and you also are involved in the animal-assisted therapy and the animal-assisted activities.
Yes.
And did that involve special training as well?
It did. It was a correspondence course from a university in England. And it's basically, it just tells you how to set up an animal therapy
unit.
Unit, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And also everything that you would need to consider before you actually set up such a unit. And also exactly what you should be expecting to record. It's pretty formal type of therapy. It's not sort of just go down and do what you like, as people might think.
Okay.
So that is an excerpt from an interview with Audrey Farrelly, preschool coordinator in St. Joseph's School for the Visually Impaired in Drumcondra. I hope to bring you more from that interview in a future programme. We have now come to the end of this first edition of Inside Education. If you want to comment on any aspect of the programme, please text me on 086 8962 665. That is 086 8962 665. Or you can email the programme at insideeducation@dublin.ie. That is insideeducation, all one word, at dublin.ie. Join me at the same time next Sunday evening on 103.2 Dublin City FM for more about the world of education. This is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you.